back up a little bit and start from Pasuk Yudalad and take it for running leaf from there. Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Yudalad. Vayishlach Shaul Malachim. Shaul sent messengers, emissaries, or kach to David, to take David at Tomer Cholrohu, and they said that he was sick. Michal said that David was sick. And it was supposed, in the meantime, she had actually put some stick figure of David in the bed to masquerade as David. Vayishlach Shaul some Malachim, and Shaul said to Malachim, he smelled a rat. Liros is David. He wanted them to see David. Lamor, and he said to him the following, Haluoso Bamitoi, Laila Miso, bring him up in the bed. In other words, come and carry him up in the bed, he's sleeping to me, and I will kill him. Vayavo Malachim, so the Malachim came. Vinyat Trophilamita, and they found these little figurines in the bed. And they found this crude shetel, this goat hair contraption around the head. So Shaul said to Michal, Why did you trick me like this? You set away my enemy, let him get away scot free. By Malaytan, he obviously got away by now. So Michal says to Shaul, oh, what can I do? Who am I, Li Shalcheni? He said to me, send me away. Michal says, David said to me, send me away. Lama Yemisev, because why should I put you to death? In other words, if you don't let me get away, then I'm going to kill you. So therefore, best for you, for your benefit, for your welfare, Michal, that you should let me get away. And that's why Michal claimed that she let David go, because David otherwise had threatened to kill her, and she was pressed into service by David HaMelech. Okay, this is where we got to last week. Now, the rest of the pack is about six psukim, I think. No, a little bit more. Six psukim. That'll occupy us for the rest of the evening. The David Barach. David ran away. He fled. Vaymalates, and he escaped. Vayavol Shmuel Ramos. He came to Shmuel to Ramah. Vayagid Lo as Kol Asher Asa Lo Shaul. He told to Shaul everything which Shaul had done to him. Vayelechu Shmuel. So then he and Shmuel, strange thing, he and Shmuel went Vayeshu b'Noyos, and they sat in a place called Noyos. What is Noyos? So Rashi says, Beis Upana, a yeshiva. They went and they sat in the yeshiva. The Gemara says, in Menachos says, and it's a fascinating Gemara, which the Radak brings down, instead of the Radak here. The Radak is on the second to last, the first line in the Radak, a little bit further down. In the first wide line in the Radak, on the left hand side, it says, Ufiro Omar Vayelech, right towards the end of the line. Everybody see that? Ufiro Omar Vayelech Shmuel. This is why it says he went to Yin Shmuel, Vayeshu b'Noyos, and they said Noyos. Vayos and Makomli and Dayan Vim. Noyos is like the yeshiva, you know, in Chicago there's a yeshiva b'Nayan Vim. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's not. I'm not sure if anybody learns it, but some organization called Yeshivas B'nei Nevi'im. So in any event, this is literally yeshiva for prophecy here in Noyos. Yoshim Sham, he'll sit there alone and learn before Shmuel. Ketargim Yonason, like Yonason says, base upana, base medish. Rabbi Seinu Zal Omu and Arabeim say Chazal and Gemara and Mizvachin Daf Nun Dalit says. Amru, Maya Noyos say to Rama. What is this Noyos business by Rama? Ella, rather, so Yeshvin bin Rama, they're sitting in Rama, the Oskin bin Noyos Shalom, and they're involved in the decoration of the world. Klomar, it means the Beis HaMikdash. Klomar Beis HaMokumiyah. That night, what's going on here? That night that David fled from Shaul, he came to Shmuel, and when he came to Shmuel, he sat with Shmuel, they went to the Beis Medrash, they made a mishmar, they stayed up all night, they learned about the Beis HaMikdash. That's what they studied. How and where to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the thing is, that in and of itself is strange. Shmuel's not going to see the Beis HaMikdash built, even David's not going to see the Beis HaMikdash built. Yet now they're coming and they're staying that night and sitting and talking about how to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's one difficulty. But what's more difficult, in my opinion, as the Pasuk is, it seems that the catalyst for this entire conversation was David's fleeing from Shaul. Had David not fled from Shaul that night, this discussion would never have taken place. Right? So what's going on? It seems like the catalyst, the direct cause for this conversation was the fact that Shaul was pursuing David. Why? So what does one thing have to do with the other? Why Dafka now, that David has been pursued away from Shaul, does he now go to Shmuel and Shmuel says, okay, come, let's go learn the halachas of how to build a Beis HaMikdash. So in order to give you the answer, I'm not giving you all the information. So I have to give you more information, or if you'll see the answer the moment I give you the more information. It says there in the Gemara that they tried to decide where to place the Beis HaMikdash. So they want to place it in the highest, they said Eretz Yisrael is the highest land in the world, let's go to the highest place in Eretz Yisrael. Highest place in Eretz Yisrael is Ein Itam, let's put it there. No. So the Gemara, they decided, it says in Torah, Ubenk Seifav Shachin. Beis HaMikdash is going to be built in the Chelek HaBinyamin between the shoulders. Remember, most of the part of the Beis HaMikdash was divided in half between Yehuda and Binyamin. Part of it was in the portion which belongs to Shevet Yehuda, part of it was in the portion which belongs to Shevet Binyamin. So it says the bank safe of Shachin. So that we have to put in a place which is both in Yehuda and Binyamin and fulfills the requirement of bank safe of. Bank safe of, they learn, means it doesn't go on the highest place, the highest location, but rather between the shoulders. So it's somewhat lower, and a little bit lower, and they put it 22 amos below Ein Itam. They demarcated the area 22 amos below Ein Itam, which was in fact exactly on the border between Binyamin and Yehuda, where the Beis HaMikdash was on the Temple Mount. That was the whole shaila of that Gemara. We spent hours trying to figure out what that Gemara means. Didn't they know already from before that the Beis HaMikdash was intended to be placed on Har Moriah? Wasn't it designated already from the time of creation, at least from the time that Adam and Avraham sacrificed all their korbanos there? But not for now. It's not important for our purposes. What I believe is critical for our purposes is what I just said, that the Beis HaMikdash was built in both the Chelek of Binyamin and Yehuda. Because that's the linkage to our issue here. Ideally, we mentioned several times in the past, the entire episode with David and Shaul, certainly with David and Yonathan, was to bring about a conglomeration of the houses of Binyamin and the houses of Yehuda. Beis David and Beis Shaul were supposed to come together, and there was going to be a Binyamin-Yehuda relationship. Binyamin, house of Shaul, Yehuda, the house of David. The two forces, the one, the great fear of God, represented by Shaul, the great Gevurah, represented by Shaul, and the other, the great Ches and the great Ava, represented by David, were supposed to come together. And the truth is, David, after all, was Shaul's son-in-law. And he was Yonasan's very, very close buddy. So the situation existed which was ideal for that. And in nowhere are we told that Shaul was preordained to die the way he later died in battle. It's possible that had not the entire persecution of David occurred, there would have been some sort of, you know, conglomeration of the house of Shaul and the house of David, with David being the king, and Shaul's descendants being kind of like, you know, whatever, second-in-command dukes, whatever you would say. That was not to be, obviously. So therefore, now that Shmuel sees, there's no hope of reconciliation at all, of any type of agreement and cooperation between Shaul and David, they have but one choice. We're going to have to find another way to bring about the ultimate union of Yehuda and Binyamin. It's clear. How is that ultimate union of Yehuda and Binyamin going to manifest itself? It will happen. There's no doubt that that is the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Those two Shvatim comprise the main body of Klal Yisrael to our very day, right? The other 10 Shvatim are either lost or at least peripheral. The primary components of Klal Yisrael throughout Jewish history are Yehuda and Binyamin, and they must be merged somehow. If there's no other way to do it, there is indeed only one way to do it. If we cannot do it by making Shaul and David come together the way they're supposed to, then we have to focus on the next way of doing it, which might have complemented the first way, but now we're going to substitute for the first way. What are they going to do? They're going to discuss how to build a Beis HaMikdash. So I believe that that's why one was a catalyst for the other. Shmuel sees this whole business of Shaul and David coming together as a union in this manner is ruined. We'll have to try plan B. Or rather, the next stage in the possibility. And what's the next stage in the possibility? The next stage is to involve ourselves in the concept of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, of doing it that way. Okay, that's where I think is going on. Let's see if, let me make sure I said everything I wanted to say here. Yeah, let's go to the next puzzle. Let's go to Yutescha. Okay, Vayugad Shaul Lemar was told to show Hine David ben Noyos Baroma. He was told that David was in Noyos, he was in that Beit Medrash in Ramah. Vayishtach Shaul Malachim. So Shaul, sent agents. Rakachas is David to take David. Vayares Lakasa Nevim. Now, these agents, I don't know why it says it in singular, but it says that these agents saw, it should be Vayiru, but it says Vayar, I guess it's one body they saw, it's La'akas Hanvim, the group of prophets. The word La'aka only appears here in Tanakh. There is no other place in the word in Tanakh where this word appears, and it is a synonym for Kahol. You see how the way the Laman and Kuf have been transposed? We're going to have to understand why that occurred, obviously, right? Rakav, they found the Rakas and Vim, Nibim, prophesying. You have to understand what's going on here. Noyos was the focus of prophecy. That's where people came, the yeshiva where people came to learn prophecy. So if you walk down the streets of Noyos in Ramah, you saw a whole bunch of people, you know, in the base medrash, in the back, in the courtyard, in the quadrangle. They're all being misnabe there. That's really what they were doing there. So they saw, these messengers saw Rakas and Vim, Nibim. And Shmuel is standing, but not just standing, Nitzav, which is an interesting word which the Mepharshim will pick up on, Alayim. He was standing in a way which was a focal center of attention. Vatiya Malachei Shol, and there became upon the agents of Shol, Ruach Elohim, the divine spirit, Vaisnabu Gam Hema, they also prophesied. Now, let's see the Malbim here. Very important Malbim. But go back to the page before, and Pasuk Chaf, it's all the way on the bottom right. Vayar es la'akas hanavim, and he saw the band or the congregation of prophets. Peirush kihilas hanavim. La'akas is saying like kihilah, kulam, all of them together. Ve'emin ha'shoshim lishapim, kahol and la'aka is a shoresh in which the two outer letters can be transposed. Kamo keves, and it's similar to the word for sheep, which is sometimes keves and sometimes kesef. Or the word for garment, which is sometimes samlo, sometimes silma. There's a difference between the word laka and chevel neviim. Chevel uktsas mina neviim kila. Chevel is some of the group. The chelik man. Whereas here it's about the entire group of neviim. The entire yeshiva was standing there. Ushmuel made nitzavalim. Shmuel was standing over them. Mevuretzli. It's clear to me. Sheyeshavdel below shown there's a distinction in language between amido venitiatzvus, between standing and between being mitiatzev. Shamida, you rock hefech ha'yeshiva. To stand just means the opposite of sitting. Or ashchiva, or not to lie. Valich, or not to walk, means a state. Avlis yatzvus, but we need sov. Yamida is to stand in a manner, shetzricha koach, which requires strength, v'chizuk, and fortification, lios nishoyendo, to remain standing. Ukimbo leaves negodol, such as when you have to stand in front of a distinguished person, lifnei bal rivo, or to stand before your enemy, uba gamkin ala mumune, and sometimes the word nitzav means somebody who's in charge of something. In other words, this is a purposeful standing, or a standing which requires a special exerted effort. Mune mashgiach adav, or somebody who's responsible and supervising something. Kamol and haron nitzav akotim, like what it says to his man who was standing on the harvesters by Boaz. Now all neviim, but eis chul aleim anavua, when the prophecy falls upon them, naflu apneim, they will fall flat on their faces. Ve'evolim mismotetim, and their limbs fall apart. Mirov atcharad, because of the great fear. Except levar Shmuel, besides Shmuel. Hoya gadol b'malos, who is great in his level, b'shnei in yonim, in two aspects. Aleph, omed el emdo, he stood in his spot, l'nofel panav, he didn't fall. Beis nitzav aleim, he was standing in a way which was above them. In other words, he was a umashpi aleim. He was granting to them shefa nevua, the flow of the nevua. Who hayah mikar? He was the source from imenu shava, from which they drew their inspiration. Who hayah haner? He was the candle shemenu who the kunav shosem, which the other neviim's souls were lit. But oreh lokiyah gadol, the great divine light. Vashefa gadol azos, and this great flow shoyisa shlema, which was complete. First of all, because of the person from whom the flow emanated, because you see, he was able to stand, he didn't fall flat on his face. Or as a result, we see that the receivers, the recipients, were also Shaya Rakas and Nevi'im Kulamo, which was the entire group of Nevi'im in that yeshiva. Shofi Rova Koro Lokim, since there's so many divinely inspired people, he's Rabba Kushavara, there's obviously a great degree of sanctity and illumination. So this is a very impressive event from two prepared accounts so far. A, Shmuel was there standing. He was fully in possession of his faculties and fully in possession of his physique, which most Nevi'im could not do. When most Nevi'im got their Nevuah, the Rambam says, they were going to fits, like epileptic fits. They couldn't control themselves. The trance was so overpowering that they couldn't maintain control of their body. Shmuel didn't have that problem. The Re was very awe-inspiring here because all the Nevi'im were participating. It's like a sheer Chloe in the yeshiva. You know, the entire yeshiva was participating in this prophetic moment here. And it was obviously a very awesome spectacle. And also, obviously, the connection between Shmuel and the students was very great. And that he was standing over them. He was bringing down from his source El Plogav to the tributaries to the other Nevi'im. Because this, listen to this line, Rabbi said, it's very important. Because this, Hudluku Gamani Tzotzotzat Munos, it also lit the hidden sparks. Binefoshos Malachish Shmushol in the souls of the agents of Shol by Snabu Gamhema, and they also became prophets. Machega Kitano on a lower level. Shazeh Gedem Misnabe. That's why it says not Minabe but Misnabe, which means Bispoel. They were influenced on a lower level. Vayidei Kach, and therefore Loponu Odo Lasor Shol Lakach David. They no longer turned to Shol's directive to take David. This is a very powerful Malbim, and it's particularly powerful. That is a message for us as well. The message for us as well, I want to show you in some detail, it's going to take us a few minutes to go through, from the Piasetzner Rebbe, the Chovetz HaTalmidim, which is on page, the Piasetzner, the Reclinimus Kamish Shapiro, the Piasetzner Rebbe. Chovetz HaTalmidim is a very powerful tract of Hasidus, and this is real Hasidus. Okay, there's fake Hasidus, that's Verklach on the Parsha, and there's intellectual Hasidus, which is Chabad, and then there's real, raw, Polish Hasidus, this is the real stuff, and this is what we're going to see tonight. He was killed in the Holocaust. It was in the Warsaw Ghetto. There's a book in English, which is translated. I couldn't find my book, and I must have lent it to somebody. The Student's Obligation. That's Aquinimus. Okay, let's take a look here in Kuf Samech. Everybody see page Kuf Samech at the top? Hankvar di Barnalel, right? Hankvar di Barnalel already spoke to me, which says, Yisrael, Imena Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. Jews, if they're not prophets, they're the children of prophets. And there's a Gemara over there in Shabbos that says, says that once Pesach came out, Erev Pesach came out on Shabbos, and they would have to shech the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. The thing is, Yerushalayim was considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, and they didn't know how to get enough knives into the Beis HaMikdash to shech the Korban Pesach. They're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, they're not allowed to carry knives through a public domain in order to get them to the Beis HaMikdash to do the Shechita. The question was how they would get the knives there, and nobody remembered the Halacha. So they went to Hillel, and Hillel forgot the Halacha too. So they'll say, you know what? Jews, if they're not prophets, they're children of prophets. They'll do the right thing on their own accord. So the next day, they saw that everybody put their knives into the hair of the goats they were bringing for the Korban Pesach. And that way, the goats carry the knives, the people did not carry the knives. Now, this is Hill's statement. Yisrael, Imein and Nevi'im, if they're not prophets, literally, B'nei Nevi'im, they're children of prophets. Benira says to Sotus Aquarius, "Shein Pshat Kipir Kipshuta Bilvad." This is not the Pshat. The Pshat here is not simplistic. Shabanim Shal Neviim Aim, that Jews are children of Neviim. Shabim Neviim Aviem Neviim Ayu, that our forefathers are prophets. Ki Aim, what difference does it make? Aim Misha Avi Avi Vuchule Zkeno Noviu. Just because your great 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 grandfather was a prophet, Gambo Mitzas Nevuanim says you're also a shtickle of prophet. Ashiyda Sadin Shlo Yedo Hill, that the people who know the Halacha which Hill didn't know. The Kol Kachay Hill, but Tzur B'Chilak Nevuasam. so sure as hell of their prophecy. And even started, didn't try and figure out the halacha on his own at all. Rav Bitachon only with security. Amar, he said, Hanachlam Yisrael, let the Jews alone. They actually asked the Kadina on their own, they're going to do properly. Avol, however, Roim Bapasuk, we see in the Pasuk Hashem, Avim Akhtanim Shon Yisparsim Shmam, the minor prophets, whose names are not known, Nikru B'nei Nevim, they were called children of Nevim. Ukumov Ishachah B'nei Nevim, there's a Pasuk that in Malachim, Va'on Mekomos, that Targum Targum, and the Targum always translates, Tamide Neviyayot, the students of the prophets. It's not just that they were students. They also prophesied. The Gankan, Shama El Reu, Bidvar Shema Kane Vukula, also that case in Lachim, which is quoting, there actually was a prophecy involved. Achmashmo is famous for the Nevi'im, but the concept of the children of Nevi'im, Shtoniku Tamide and Nevi'im Kipshutam, is not the reason why they're called B'nai and not Tamide, not students, after it's possible. Shukamosha currently Isha Yochel Limor Harbe, just like a person can learn a lot in them. And other people can't learn so much. Rachmat only a little bit. Koyim b'nei Torah. We call it not Lamdonim, but b'nei Torah. Gamkein b'shem b'nei mechanim. We also call them by the name b'nei. Shuloras al etzem or ish. It's to show their madrega. A ben Torah is it's not the same level as a lambda, but it shows his affinity, his kindred spirit to Torah. Kemo muftach lo shebein olam haba. Just like when we say that somebody's promised the ben olam haba, it shows he has shein mashmos shaviv olam haba. It doesn't mean his tati was olam haba. Rubidon, he's the son of olam haba. Right? It doesn't mean that. Ela etzim shelo. It's telling us, it's describing his nature, his character. Shuben olam haba, he has an affinity to the world to come. Zeu gamayinim b'kinu b'nei Torah. It's also what we call somebody a ben Torah. It means, as anoshim shechol lomor chumash, people who learn chumash, umat gemore, a little bit of gemore, shechorim osam b'nei Torah, they're called b'nei Torah. Lo, and in that case, lo es ma Torah sim b'vad. It's not just the little Torah that they know, but sayinu magbila kinu ezeh, that we are describing and defining with description. Ella, rather, gametzkolatz musam, their entire character, means, she'enam isnagim, they do not conduct themselves, kanoshim gatsim, like boorish people, v'ameoretz, the kinu yazeh b'nei Torah, and this the description of b'nei Torah, k'neged ha'kinu ameoretzu, it's a contradistinction to an ameoretz, she'gankin lo helderi diosim b'torah b'yovadimetein, because the word ameoretz doesn't just tell us how little Torah people know, rakatzkolis nagusam, it's just it's capturing their entire behavior, Shnogim Bagasus, that they're coarse people. Commotion Baritz, like Mar says, Ezo Amoritz, who's an Amoritz? Lo Bechos Shabi Yosu Bilvad. Not just he does in ignorance. Rakam Istagus also behavior. Shayna Maneach Tfilin doesn't put out Tfilin. Shayna Magas Bernal Tari doesn't send his kids to from education. Vechule. Again, even though the word Amar primarily concerns his lack of knowledge of Torah, and that's why it's primarily called Nikra Amaret, nonetheless, came to be this is because this Koratzmo's entire essence, Faragosum conduct is Garua as low, Hashem Koratzmo Nikra. So therefore, his name Amar describes his entire character. Cain, so to have an Torah, Avshenim Lomdim, even though they don't learn, Vloyodim do not know, Kol Kach Torah, but it's so much Torah, Mikomakom, nonetheless, Cain, which I told you, Boahem, which is in them, Paul, Akwal, Atzma, already an impact on themselves, it's not Gusam in their behavior, Vishanoisim, to change them, Vishara, on from other people, Shayuka Torah, that they should be a little bit like the Torah, Gam Cain, but Shem, Shem, and Sain, is Klatzma, so to in the name which describes their entire character, Umak Bilam, and distinguishes them, Mizura Sam, from others, Nikur, they're called B'nai Torah. Masha'enke, as opposed to Alamdin, Shabis Naguso, with his conduct, that's Muso, as Mususo, and his character, ain't Torah, so he said, Nirez Kokach. Even his Torah doesn't seem so much more. And he's not that distinct and that separate, means Shar B'nai Torah from other B'nai Torah. Kigam B'nai Torah, B'derech HaTorah B'snagim. Because also B'nai Torah, they also behave in Torah ways. The Chayv Shuval Tamura Nikra Lamdin. A Ben Torah is called a Ben Torah to distinguish him from everybody else. Because he has an affinity to Torah, which other people don't have. A Lamdin, though, is not called Ben Torah Plus. That's not what we call him, because a Ben Torah is also has an affinity, a kindredship to Torah. So a Lamdin is only distinguished from a Ben Torah that he's super in his learning. The affinity to Torah is the same affinity by Ben Torah and by a Lamdan. We only distinguish a Lamdan in addition because he also has a higher level of scholarship. They are both set apart, however, from an Amma Oretz who has not just no scholarship, but no character of a scholar as well. Is called in the thing Shematsuyin and Mugbahu, which is distinct and defined, Mishabne Dor as different from other Bnei Torah. Cain, so too Talmid and Abim, the students of the prophets, Kaoshuai, son of Asim, as long as they didn't have great prophecy, Al Shem Atzman, Nikru B'nei Nevi'im. They're called on the essence of the character B'nei Nevi'im. Shabbat Ma'an Nevi'im, instead a little bit of prophecy. V'chot Ma'at Smaam, V'ana Gotham, Mishtana, and all of their character and their behavior was different. Mishar, and for the other people, be'etzem in their character, by hagan avuah and in their prophetic behavior. Besides that, there was a great prophet, al shein nevuaso, based on his greater on the vaso gadol's greater degree of prophecy. Nikra k'mo ramdan agol, so he was called han nudun navi, supposed to ben neviim, just like a ramdan was greater, called distinct from a ben torah kaniska, like we mentioned before. And when he'll want to say Shav Shubidiyaso, even though he with his knowledge any of this and he does know the halacha, the Gam Haman also they Shalu also Bayom Azeh Berev Yotov, even if they ask him the halacha Berev Yotov, Ro Yedu, you will not know it. Mikom nonetheless. Bismagusam with the conduct of the Jews, Kshevola Maisa, when it comes to push, comes to shove, Avan Hagan, they have to conduct themselves. Bishat Savasa Korban, when they bring the Korban, Yedu, they will know it. To describe that Omar B'nai Nevi'im Haim, to say they're B'nai Nevi'im, Sheb'atzu in their character, V'snagusam in their behavior, Ruach Nevi'os Nimtza, there's a spirit of prophecy. Ukshiavo L'maasev Anagol, when they come to deed and to conduct, Ruach Nevi'os Sheb'atzbam, with a spirit of prophecy within them, and in their conduct, Yedu, this will be known. They'll know what to do. Now, he goes on now to describe that by Jews, it's different than Goy. When a Goy gets a Nevo, such as Bilam, his Nevo is extrinsic. There's nothing which, the way Rabbi Ari Kaplan describes it is, a nevuah, anytime you get a spirit on nevuah, it activates certain things within you. So it's just like you can't see a movie unless you have a screen, right? And the screen is distinct from the movie. Otherwise, all you have, let's say, is, you know, lights, light patterns traveling through the air which are invisible. You sit in an airplane, right, and you see there's a movie projector and there's a movie screen. You can't see the movie between the projector and the screen. There's nothing there to see. The only time you can see the movie is when it hits the screen, right? Well, when it hits the screen, right? That's how nevuah goes by a goy. The goy is a screen, and the nevuah hits him, and he sees it. By a Jew, it's not like that. A Jew is more like a television. I mean, Lahazio, of course, but the movies, television is mamish tame, but it's a good marshal. By a television, you know, the television activates, the electronic impulses activate the elements of the screen itself, right? The screen is active, it's not passive. By a movie, the screen is passive. By television, the screen is active, and the cathode ray too, there's certain, the pixels, which are activated in the television screen. Everybody's familiar enough with science to know that, or aware of that, right? No? Take it on faith. There are electronic impulses which activate certain elements of the screen, which make the different colors and the bands and all that and so on and so forth. By a Jew, it's like that. The nevuah activates certain hardwired things within himself. And that's why by a Jew, everybody's nevuah is different than anybody else's. Even the same nevuah will appear, manifest itself by different nevi'im in different ways. Because in each Navi, the electron, just like you can have different television sets, which are slightly different variations of color and of pitch and all that kind of stuff, depending on how the pixels are arranged in the screen. So to by Nevuah, each and every Jew has a different, slightly different makeup, so the same Ruach of Nevuah will strike him slightly differently than it'll strike his fellow. Okay? So that's the difference, however, between a Jew and a Goy. By a good Jew Goy, there's nothing in him which inherently is prepared for Nevuah. That's why Nevuah comes to him, and he's just a passive screen. By a Jew, it's he who receives the Nevuah, because every Jew, he who creates Nevuah, I should say, because every Jew has the koyach of Nevuah, which is manifest in being B'nai HaNevi'im. That is within each and every Jew. Now, then he goes out to describe this in a little bit greater detail. let's skip two paragraphs. We don't have to see that right now. But lo shanu omrim bezeh. Now that we say shebnei neviim asher bezman and neviim, that the bnei neviim were sure at the time of the real prophets. Rakoha and Yisrael Hayu were just like the masses of Israel at the time of the second base on Miklash. Asher koro from hill bnei neviim, will also call bnei neviim. Obviously, there was a difference. Lo shamon b'yisrael bnei neviim, and that certainly we can't say that the masses of Jews who were called bnei neviim asher bezman hill, which were at the time of neviim hillel, rakadareda zayu only are like our laughable generation. Because the generations are constantly going down. In our great sins, we have no major Nevi'im. We have no divine spirit. There are no prophets, nor seers. And also the B'nai Nevi'im, which is the life force and the sanctity of a Jew, your employment has gone down in amazing ways. But this we can say about ourselves as well. That even today, the life force and the essence of a Jew, even if it's just a fistful, nonetheless, the essence of a Jew, in contradistinction from a guy, is prophecy. Every Jew is a Ben Nevi. He has an affinity to Nevuah. Just like the distinction between an animal and a vegetable, something which grows. Etzem chisavos is the life force which is within it. And the difference between a speaking human and an animal, dibur of the daitohi, is the power of speech and intellect. Look at this, Rabbi Isai. The difference between Yisrael and Stam Adam between a Jew and a regular person, quote unquote, Etzem HaNaviyus, is the power of prophecy. That's, in a nutshell, what defines the difference between Jews and Goyim. Jews are inherently prophetic. That's what a Jew is, inherently prophetic. That's the distinction. The chomachshavas atayvus and all the good thoughts, ritzonios desires, teshukos quests, the rayonas tovs of good ideas, umineis davios and the arousal which a Jew has. Afyur tshuva pshuta, even a simple thought of tshuva, sheoli mekavishol which arises within a Jewish heart, shabnei neviim. It's prophetic. Kiayim, because do I say? Even in the great prophets, the holy ones, only their futures soothsaying, which they said, the voice of what that was the sole manifestation of prophecy. Most of the prophets is comprised of Musar, right? And these words are not just idle chatter. Not the shame Hashem people, some they spoke the word of God, the name of God. Shebolem Dvar Hashem, the word of God came to them, that's hold kolo shamu, and the glory of his voice they heard, the divrei musar v'adrachah, words of musar, and direct guidance. V'odiyu v'idrichot Yisrael b'mah shamar Hashem. And they led Am Yisrael with that which God told them. Avohei nevuah somebody said rabba. But they had great prophecy. As Koshim Shamu Father, they've heard the voice of God in fact and indeed. That's Maris of Wasam, and the images of the world they saw, but open in a manner which was Shaylon or Sola, but we have no concept of. However, Vatoko Ishi saw banana vim. Now, when all Jews are the children of him, Vakashiri Arahim, and maybe even just the remnant of banana vim, but he should know. Now, when we get a good arousal, you don't have the discernment to know the Nitzos Nevius, so if it's a spark of Nevius or not, because it's very small. Who doesn't know these words of Baal Shem Tov? I've said it here several times, and I don't know if anybody who's here tonight heard it. Sha'amahu says, from the voice which comes from the Mount Sinai, which the Mishnah mentions, that Shuvu Banim Shavavim, that I'm supposed to do Shuvah, from that, every Jewish heart is aroused, for your tshuva with the thought of tshuva. For your tshuva zeh, and this thought of tshuva, nitzot is a spark habasko of that divine voice. Even though it seems ha'ish to the person shirak mekibo that's only from within him. But just so I know that even in the old days, the holy prophets, they weren't all equal in their prophecy. After the extent that Navi purified himself and sacrificed himself, in direct proportion that the prophecy came upon him. By the way, I have to digress. This is not simple. There's a big machlokas here, what he just said. What he just said is axiomatic. Well, I took his axiomatic for several years until I realized it's not simple at all. He says, the vua came in direct proportion to the amount of sanctity which you achieved. Wasn't always true. Biggest raya against that is Bilam. Because Bilam got Nevuah, even though, although according to somebody showing him, he wasn't a Navi. Even Ezra says he was not a Navi, he was only a sorcerer. But most, it's generally accepted that he was a prophet, and he achieved prophecy. And he achieved prophecy despite the fact that it was a big Russia. So, but there are two ways to get prophecy. One is, like we say more about Vasa, so the time the base of Mikdash was destroyed, Nevuah was given to whom? It, right, imbeciles and children, and I think that's it. Straight to Mikdanim, which are obviously are not prepared, don't prepare themselves very much for Nevuah, so that Nevuah can come without any preparation. But his axiom here is that any Navi, any Jew, I should say, who wants to be a Navi, can work it in hard enough and become a Navi. Because there is a proportion, the amount that you cleanse yourself and tap into your power of Nevius, which each and every Jew is hardwired for, is the amount to which you're Zoycha to Nevuah. And this makes no difference, man, woman, child, man or woman, doesn't make a Talmud Chacham, not a Talmud Chacham, everybody can tap into that Koyach of Nevuah which they have within them. That's what he's saying here. And Kegamidim B'nei Nevim Shkoy Yisrael, Bokum Shavim, and not everybody's equal. Somebody who makes his body physical, and he dulls his soul, he covers and buries it, tachas aremos, offer of a teeth, underneath piles of dirt and mud, of the stupidities of his body, he has very little of this power of bananavim. And sometimes, lo nishma, you won't hear, lo negash, you will not feel, legamre, at all the spirit, chas v'shalom. To the extent that he purifies his body more, and he holds himself by the hairs of his soul, and a little bit grabs it out slowly out of the quicksand, the more he has the spirit of prophecy. And he goes on to describe this in greater detail, and just want to show you his mushal, a very very powerful mushal. Take a look, two paragraphs then. I will do this for my creation, especially Ishi Soil Nefesh. Every Jew has a nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. Hanefesh, ruach, and neshama, those are the parts of the soul, bishkan and begufah, which reside in a person's body. Hanefesh, bekaveh, the mekubalim, attributed the nefesh, the bodily part of the soul, to the liver. Haruach, the spirit part of the soul, to the heart, the lev. And neshama, the intellect part of the soul, mochel, to the mind. Aval chaya v'yechida. But the chai and yechida are parts of the soul which are gedolos ukdoshes ein harbi megufo, which are much holier than a person's body. V'yishalim istabishbo, and they're in your subconscious. They're not within your conscious realm, and they're not within your body. Rak mimalugufo, they're above your body. Shoros umakifasoso, they dwell there. And they envelop him. Now, don't think, don't go around, you know, trying to find this, because this is obviously just a marshal. Because the neshama takes up no space, and you won't be able to go looking for a chai yechida. Now, the Navi, the Sfari talk about it as a long rope, which attaches a person to shamayim, right? The chai and yechida. Not, you know, you can't cut it, it's not, although Kares alludes to cutting that rope. But it's not, you won't find it. It's a mushal. It doesn't exist in the real world or in any realm which is describable to us. It exists in the dimension of Kedusha. But every Jew has this dimension. And Goyim don't. They don't have Chaya Yechida. No such thing. They don't even have the same kind of neshama as Jews do. But they don't have that unique connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's not that they're extra. And a person doesn't need them, Chazer Shalom. Either on the contrary. They are the primary component of an individual. And he needs all of them. And here you understand this with this marshal. It's a very interesting marshal. Even though it's not a perfect marshal. Hamashbech, a funnel. Imagine to yourself a funnel stretching into a bottle. Hamashbech shal yodav shofchimayim uviyayin uchuliyot sochis. You have a funnel to which you pour water and wine into a bottle. Raksofo b'fiv atzar, only its end, its narrow end, nichlasu otol tzochis, goes into the bottle. For Rosh HaRochav, its wider end, shurikoro, which is its the primary component thereof, ashosham kol ma'am yayin insa, which there's all the water or the wine, mimalot tzochis nishar, it's above the bottle. Kain sotu or the light, vakdusha, and the sanctity, ashin insa v'ker of ish yisro, which is in the Jewish, inside a Jew, v'koro, and is his primary component, v'atzmuso, and his essence, Kedusha Ilah, it's a highest type of Kedusha, from the highest worlds, and it became smaller and diminished until the spirit of the Nevi'im in the Nevi'im back then, even smaller spot, to the lower level of our generation of Bnei Nevi'im. Rakam At, only a little bit, a little bit of the funnel, which the body can receive, comes into the body, and becomes his neshama, in his brain, and goes on to describe this in greater detail, but we've seen enough for our purposes. What he says in brief is, you're like a funnel. Most of your Kedusha is the wine which is coming to the funnel. The thing is, it's not wine which is poured and that's it. It's imagine that the wine is static, because the mushal and the nimshal is not exactly the same. Now the parable and that which we're trying to explain. But rather there's this great jug of wine, barrel of wine, which is the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And that barrel of wine is being poured into specific funnels. And each one of us has a funnel. And that there's a great degree of Kedusha outside of us, which is the primary component of the funnel, in that it's the larger component where most of the wine is. And that is the Chaya and Yechida. And a little bit of the bottom of the mouth of the funnel, the spout, gets into the bottle. And that is the part of the funnel which we have access to. And that part of the funnel is that which we are aware of, the Kedusha we're aware of. But there's much more Kedusha which we're not normally aware of, which is subconscious, which we're not always in contact with. But it's all there, and that's part of our being Bnei Nevi'im. So when these people came, the messengers of Shaul came, what happened? What happened with the Nevi'im who were there in front of Shmuel to begin with? Shmuel had the capacity, being the chief Navi, so to speak, to give access, to afford access to other people, to their own funnels. He activated their neshamas in a way that all of a sudden much more of that funnel would enter into their body than normally would. And we also have experiences like that. On a Yom Kippur, you feel a much higher amount of Kedusha within you than you normally feel. That Kedusha is more of the funnel entering your body at that moment, so to speak. You're more in tap of that Kedusha. Ideally, a person through their life should incrementally try and increase the amount of the funnel which is in their bottle as well. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. By the Nevi'im who came before Shmuel, Shmuel was mashpia on them. It's interesting, the mashal is used there too. The shefa loki, the divine flow, to a greater extent they would have had otherwise. And these Nevi'im, these malachim, excuse me, the messengers of Shaul, when they came before Shmuel, at that point, they were able to tap in as well. Shmuel helped them to tap into their own Kedusha, to activate their own sanctity that they themselves should experience prophecy at that moment. You see what's going on here? What's going on is that although normally we don't have access to it to the same extent, but it's there. It's just dormant. When Shmuel helped them, they were able, and Shmuel, just by standing there and participating with them and them joining together, was able to enable them, to assist them to uplift themselves as well. Now, this is a very basic component of Chassidus. That's why this is all here in the P.S. Etzer. Because one of the basic building blocks of Chassidus, which is not, it's not one of the Kori Emunah in Judaism, it's not one of the 13 principles of the Rambam. but it's a basic component of Hasidus, is that each and every Jew has a special Kedusha within them, which they can access. The thing is, most people are not attuned to accessing it. And this Kedusha is so great that it can allow you to perceive and experience realms and experiences which are beyond normal, mundane life. And those experiences, whether they're through singing or dancing or drinking, remember this is Hasidus, there are realms which are real and which are holy and which a Jew experiences as akin to prophecy. And although we don't have the same type of prophecy that they once had back then, we have that madrega of being able to have that, how should I say, we don't have that madrega of outright prophecy, nor even do we have the Ruach HaKodesh, which Am Yisrael might have had in the second base of Mikdash, but we have, as Man HaZeh, the capacity to elevate ourselves and enter that altered state during davening, during learning, at certain times, and by meditating and doing other things. And that's what the Chovas HaTalmidim is really going to go on to explain, which we're not going to see tonight, how that one can do that. So here, at this time, on an outright Nebuah level, you had these people, these agents of Shaul, who weren't tzaddikim, or weren't Balei Madrega, and certainly were not regularly Nevi'im. But when they came before Shmuel, it was like, you know, they were able to open up in themselves and activate all sorts of levels of Kedusha which are not normally accessible to them. And the Malbim, but again, the Malbim stresses this, I want to stress, it was activating they themselves. It wasn't like a gift from Shmuel, but rather they themselves were activated by their presence, by their being present before Shmuel. As he said here in the Malbim, just to go back and read it to you again, so the Malbim said, through Shmuel, they were activated or lit also the sparks which were hidden in the nefashos of Malachi Shol, in the nefashos of the agents of Shol. Now I want you to know this is the entire kind of, we're going to soon see, we're not going to get to this thing next week. But this entire concept is foreign to, is not, how should I say? I want to say it in an objective way. It's not encouraged by non-Hasidic Judaism. In other words, in Hasidic Judaism, it's very important, perhaps the most fundamental value in Hasidus is that you should have this experiential. And they say this is not something which should be quantified or qualified, and who says you're not fooling yourself, and what kind of business is this to achieve an altered state of consciousness? How do you know you're actually achieving it? So therefore they would not necessarily hold of this. And the truth is that even among Hasidim, I'm overgeneralizing, because you can't, that breakdown doesn't really exist in actuality. Among Hasidim, they're very, very pragmatic and down-to-earth Hasidim who don't believe in this, and among Misnagdim, they're more mystical and ethereal and transcendent types of Misnagdim. But in general, over the years, it's become kind of like a dividing line. One of the demarcation lines between Hasidim and Misnagdim is this difference between focus on the experiential and the illumination from within, as opposed to focus on tangible goals and intellectual achievements and so on and so forth. Okay, let's go on actually to the next pasuk. Not yet. Sorry. Oops. Now, the question was, because see how few circles we can do in one night. If you take a look at my notes, want to go far what I wrote here. It is interesting, however, that the Targum used the Lashon of Safraya. The Targum says that these translates from native Safraya, which means Sofrim. Sofrim are Talmidei Chachamim. And it says that Shmuel was Nitzav Aleim. The Targum translates Nitzav as Melech. He was teaching them. Now, this is true, even though the Targum goes on to say that it was Nevuah going on here. But it couches the Nevuah in terms of Limud Torah. You see that? It says the B'nai Nevi'ah are Safraya, and what Shmuel was doing to them was Melech. He was teaching them. So we're using intellectual terms, Torah learning terms, to describe the experiential prophecy. So Rabbi Kaplan says in the inner space, he notes a very interesting thing, which I think explains this to a certain degree, although we'll see more explanation next week. He says that the Kruvim guard the way to Eitz HaChaim. You know, at the end of the idea, when Adam Rishon was kicked out of Gan Eden, so it says that God put the Kruvim at the entrance of Gan Eden, the cherubs, right, they're placed there with the sword to guard the way to the Eitz HaChaim. The Eitz HaChaim, Eitz Chaim, Ilam HaChaziki, but also is called, an Eitz Chaim, the Torah. The Torah is kept, the Lukos are kept in the Aron. What was on top of the Aron? The Kruvim, right? From where did God speak to Moshe? You all know. From between the Kruvim. Now, without getting into great detail about Kruvim, the Kruvim are also a conceptual component of Nevuah. Every time you have a Navi describing the visions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the visions of the Maaseh Merkava, a lot of the Merkava is based on the Kruvim, on the presence of the Kruvim there. It's clear, says Aryeh Kaplan, that and all this alludes to the fact that the mystery of prophecy is contained in the teachings of Torah. In other words, you can't divorce Nevuah from Torah. It's true that we say that Nevuah is not the same thing as Torah, and in fact, although women are not mechuyah to learn Torah, they are equally capable of being Nevi'im as men. We discussed that way back when we discussed Devarah. We said that the way a woman achieves Nevuah is not the same way that which a man achieves Nevuah, but rather there are different avenues. At the end of the day, it's the same Nevuah, though. So the Nevuah is not necessarily achieved by learning Torah. But all Nevuah's groundlets are there's nothing which can be achieved in this world without it emanating from Torah. So therefore, the Targum is saying, whatever the process is, I don't know, and maybe even the Targum didn't know exactly the process was of making B'nai Yisrael into B'nai Nevi'im. But he says, basically I know, that if there is a process, it's got to be a process akin to learning. And therefore, what Shmuel is doing has to be Melech, has to be teaching. And what the B'nai Nevi'im are, they have to be called Safraya. They have to be called Tamidei Chacham. Now, I think that this is perhaps alluded to in the use of the word La'aka. The Malbim explains there's a sefer called a Carmel, a very useful sefer, which is basically a compilation of the Malbim's explanations of terms from all over Tanakh. And you can look it up in alphabetical order how the Malbim explains different terms, and that was something the Malbim was very big on, explaining the difference between synonyms, because the Malbim is a prohibition, which says there's no such thing as a synonym in the Hebrew language. If you find two words which seem to have the same meaning, they don't. There has to be a difference, a subtle perhaps, but there has to be a difference between them. So the Malbim says, what's the difference between a kol and an edah? Right, kahol, you think it's the same as edah. You have kahal adas mishurun, right? So what's the difference between kahal and edah? So he says, kahal is a congregation, means where everybody's mixed together. There's no order. That's a kahal. And Ada is where there's a specific order. And Ada, I believe the Ada is connected to the word aid, which means to bear testimony. So which bears testimony indicates a specific order. Whereas a kohol, everything is mixed together. There's no, whenever it says, Vaikohalua Moshe Aaron, it means that they came to Moshe all mixed up and they didn't have any specific order or a specific, they're a mass, the masses. That would be called the Kohol. Now, I think that the reason why there's a difference between Kohol and Laka is grounded in that negative connotation of the word Kohol. Kohol means where there is no order. There is no order. And that is represented by the fact that the kuf comes first. And the kuf means, it's an ambiguous letter in Kabbalah, but kuf very often has a negative connotation of, one place it means a kof, obviously a monkey, you know, something which has no inherent intelligence. The other places, kuf represents chok, it represents laughter and mockery. So that, the letter kuf coming first has a negative connotation. But where the lamed comes first, it reorders the kohol. A lamed is a very positive letter. Because lamed obviously represents what? What does the word lamed mean? to learn. And as we mentioned, in the past, the Rav Tzadok, I believe, Lamed is the only letter in the Hebrew alphabet. You remember, so I must mention it. Lamed is the only letter which stretches above the line. In English, there's no such letter. There's no letter in the English language which goes above the lines of the other letters. Right? Think through the English alphabet quickly. They all end on the same level. They some of them go beneath the line, like we have in Hebrew too. The kuf goes beneath the line. But no letter in English goes above the line, and in Hebrew there's only one, lamed, and those of you who recall know that I mention every time that that causes a lot of problems with Hebrew word processors. A Hebrew word processor has got to provide for a lamed which goes above the line, and there's no corresponding character in English, right? So in any event, so the lamed represents learning, and not just stop learning, but rather Torah learning, which means we're drawing up from Shamayim, right? We're bringing things down from heaven down to earth. And that's what the lamed represents. That's why the lamed is the middle letter in the Aleph Beis. The 12th letter of the 22 is the lamed, right? So that represents, that's the stretching up to Shemayim and bringing things down for all the letters on each side. Now, here, again, a kol would have no order. But a lahaka has the ultimate order. Because a lahaka represents that the lamed, the bringing down here of literal nevuah from Shemayim, gives order to this group of people. So the Nevi'im were standing, praying, perhaps what would look like a mass around Shmuel, but no, there was a unique kind of mass. It's like a kehila kedosha. It was, and that's represented by the fact that it's called a lahaka. Also, it's interesting. Besides the fact that the lamed represents the bringing down of Torah and the Nevuah min haShamayim and the giving of divine order, lahaka is a male word. Kehila is a feminine word, and lahaka is also a feminine word. I believe that represents, because it represents the lahaka is attuned to receiving from Shamayim the special hashpa, the special flow of nevuah which they were receiving in this, they're receiving here from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's the end of Pasuk Chaf. I really want to get a little bit further. I have a lot to say. We're going to have to stop for tonight. Let's just read one more Pasuk, because Pasuk Chaf Aleph is a relatively minor Pasuk. The Chaf Beis is a major Pasuk. Chaf Aleph, Vayagidu Shol. So they told Shol that the first set of Malachim were standing there prophesying. So he sent other agents. So what are they going to do? They also started prophesying. They also got swept up in this this awesome scene. Shol sent came again. And he sent the third group of Malachim. They also started prophesying. So in Pasuk Chavez, Shol's going to have to come himself. We will see what happens when Shol comes. A rather remarkable thing, but we're just going to have to wait until next year.